Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. So hi everybody and welcome to the Wild Ginger Running YouTube channel, live broadcast and subsequent podcast. So today we are talking to an incredible record breaker. This man has run the 2,189 mile Appalachian Trail southbound, supported in 45 days, 4 hours and 27 minutes. It's none other than Christian Morgan. How are you doing today, Christian?
Yeah, good. It's really nice to see you again. Good to be back. It's been pretty much a year since we last spoke. So yeah, thanks for having me on as a guest.
Yeah, no problems at all. It's great to speak to you and it's absolutely fantastic that you have this achievement under your belt now. We're going to talk today about rocky trails, flooded trails, injuries, miraculously zero blistered feet, sleep deprivation and strange combinations of food and a bit of dancing on the Appalachian Trail. But before we start, we just need to let everybody know that this podcast is sponsored by Currens, the 100% natural blackcurrant supplement for trail and ultra runners. Christian here uses it as well, so I'm sure we'll be mentioning it in some point in the podcast, see what he thinks of it. He's going to give you his very honest opinion. But it did win Best Recovery Product Award in 2020 and 2021. And if you don't feel the recovery benefits, you do get your money back. So what's not to like? I've been taking them for about a year. It took me about a whole year to work out whether I trusted Currens or not, because I don't usually take any supplements whatsoever. But I have used them before, during and after 3 ultras this year. So that's every single ultra that I've done. And honestly, I do feel like Currens is a little bit of a secret weapon for me in terms of reducing the joint aches and the pain in my hips that I usually feel, especially going down steep hills. So Christian is sponsored by Currens, as is pro runner Ruth Croft, who won Western States last year, and UK felon ultra runner Kim Collison, who we interviewed a couple of months back. So we'll get into your fueling and Currens usage within this podcast, Christian, but first I want to ask you how it felt to take that very last step on the Appalachian Trail after 45 days of running and finally breaking that record. How did that feel?
You know, you build up an imaginary image in your mind of actually what it's going to be like, and it was nothing like that at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was it like?
Well, there were people there who I didn't know, I guess, you know, and, you know, you kind of imagine running up to the final part and slamming your hand down and kind of punching the air or something. But I felt a little bit embarrassed, I guess, because everyone was looking at me and filming me and stuff. So I guess if anything, I felt a little bit embarrassed, you know.
Yeah, like all the attention suddenly on you in this open space when you've just been like a couple of you on the trail every day.
Yeah, totally. So it was a little bit anticlimactic. And there's also 2 finishing points or starting points, however you want to put it.
Okay.
The Appalachian Trail. There's I believe it's Benton McKay. I think he's the guy who conceived the Appalachian Trail. There's a plaque of him, and then there's a kind of a white blaze, which is the first white blaze. Oh. So there was a bit of confusion on like, where do I go to? And one of my friends said, it's definitely the white blaze, you know? So
yeah,
it was a bit weird. It was, I mean, it was great to be finished, but at the same time, you know, it's one of those things you want it to end, but you don't want it to end. So you're conflicted.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. And of course, this is a massive achievement for you because this is the fourth time that you've been on the Appalachian Trail. Is it the fourth time that you've been aiming for a record, or is it just the fourth time that you've been involved with going all the way along the Appalachian Trail?
Yeah, fourth time. So I helped set the record in 2018 and I returned to try to set a record, including this year, every year bar 2020. And that's when I stayed in the UK and broke Damien Hill's record on the Southwest Coast Path. So I've been back repeatedly every year for 4 years. This is my fourth year running. And I have two finishes on the Appalachian Trail. Last year, I set the second fastest time in the world. And this year, I set the third fastest time in the world, but the fastest southbound. Because I already hold the second fastest, and then Carol has the overall fastest time. Awesome. So yeah, fourth year running. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. And so was it a case this year of just like all the stars aligning, or had you learned so much from those previous experiences that just you were just so able to just float along the trail?
So funny you say that, Claire, like all the stars completely didn't align. Oh. I mean, we had one full start, you know. Actually, the weather was atrocious. Hikers were getting off trail. The trail was being closed down, flooding. Records were being broken with the amount of rainfall. So actually, I had a start, and I did like whatever it was, almost 650 something miles day one. And then day two, after crossing a river which should have been ankle deep and I could have hopped across, I was chest deep. And I saw the guys and I said, guys, it's like, we're not going to break a record. It's not the right time of year. So no, the clouds didn't align, the stars.
Yeah, the clouds did, but the stars did not. Yeah.
Did, yeah. And chucked a load of water down on us. But as for, did my past experience help? Yeah, it totally did. I just had the strength and the experience to just, and learned so many lessons to just be able to push through all of the obstacles this year.
Yeah. Amazing. And I'm just wondering, we're going to get to some of those obstacles in a minute, but how do you train for such a long challenge? Like this is like over 2000 miles. The ascent is like 140,000 meters ascent, or like 465,000 feet. Like how do you even train for that? What's your average mileage per week? Or do you just focus on vert?
So each year I've taken the same approach. I've stayed in Thailand for the majority of the time. I do online run coaching, so I work from Thailand. And I did the same thing this year. I went to Thailand. I was up north. I'm getting heat acclimatized. I'm in the mountains, so I've got crazy vert. The vertical gain in ratio to the distance is the same as the most mountainous part of the Appalachian Trail in New Hampshire. So I'm getting mountain legs, I'm getting heat acclimatized, and I just run, eat and sleep. And then this year I spent time, actually I went to New Hampshire and actually spent time on the Appalachian Trail itself and did a lot of mountain running and immersed myself, you know, in that. But the thing is, the really annoying thing is actually once I got to the US, I had 2 days of sun. I think it was around June, and then it was just rainy and cloudy. So I guess that kind of prepared me for what was ahead, but it was a lot more pleasant in Thailand.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, so just lots of time on feet and just lots of vert.
Yeah, a lot of time on feet, a lot of vert, and just making sure, I mean, I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. Yeah, I've actually asked myself the question, what if I didn't have the Appalachian Trail to train for? I'd be doing the same thing. I'd be in the mountains, running up to the coffee villages, drinking coffee, making friends with locals and having a good time. That's just, I like to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so your job, like, that presumably fits around the running? Like, you just have a laptop and you can talk with clients and you can give them training plans. Is that how things work?
Yeah, I mean, I have my weekly calls, catch-up calls with my clients, and I'm sitting in a really nice coffee shop. I've got my laptop. And it's just how it works. You know, Chiang Mai is a great coffee region. They grow coffee there. So I'm usually enjoying some kind of flat white with oat milk or some black Americano and just, you know, chat to the guys about running. I really enjoy it. I genuinely enjoy my life. You know, it's nice.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you have any kids at all? I'm just thinking it would be hard to go away for a long time if you had kids.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. No, I don't. No children. I do have a girlfriend, but no children. So in that sense, the guy's record who I broke is pretty famous ultrarunner, Carl Meltzer, Speed Goat, and he doesn't have any children. Having said that, look at the other end of the scale, like Scott Jurek. You know, he has two children so yeah, people who do these things are a mixed bag, you know. There's not always one way to do it, you know.
For sure, definitely. Oh, it's amazing. And I've just seen, if you haven't seen, everybody, take a look at Christian's Facebook page and some of the reels that he's made of the trail, because it's absolutely incredible, this trail. It's not just like some kind of smooth path that you're just running along, you just like coast along. It's really rocky. There's loads of roots everywhere. You can't just coast along. You have to concentrate the whole time. That's the feeling that I got from it. So, how do you even manage that after day upon day? And presumably you're sleep deprived as well. How do you manage not to fall over?
I actually averaged probably about 7 hours sleep each night.
Oh, really? That's amazing.
Which was pretty good. I was kind of quite efficient. My alarm would go off at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'd be up and out of the roof tent within 15 minutes, dressed, having drunk my coffee, had my breakfast, and I was ready to go. So efficiency, you know, it's tough. I'm not going to lie. You know, it's not easy, but you have to want to do it and you have to believe it's possible. So, you know, I definitely hold on to the fact I believed I can set a record on the Appalachian Trail, and I also wanted to do it. So the times when you don't feel motivated, you have to hold on to those set beliefs. I guess one of the hardest times is you wake up in the morning and the first thing, if you allow to enter your mind, is I don't want to get out of bed. You know, I mean, I bet everyone feels that.
Every morning. Running or no running.
I don't want to get out of bed. So, like, how did I overcome that? I had my clothes in the tent with me, including my shoes. My shoes were on some kind of bag, as not to get mud and things in the tent. But I had everything I needed in order to. So last year when I was doing this, I came out of the tent just, I think, in my boxer shorts, and I had to get dressed outside. So I just made it as easy as possible for myself to enter the world of what lay ahead, which was 15, 16 hours a day on trail. It's tough, but it's something I want to do, and I believe I can do it. So I just, you know, those hard times pass. They really do.
Yeah. And did you have somebody with you all the time on the trail? Was there somebody who met you every night as well?
Yeah. I mean, so it's a supported attempt, but I ran about 2,000 miles by myself. Okay. And I had runners join me for just under 200 miles. So I was solitary for, like, whatever that is, 90% of the time. And I enjoyed it that way. It was nice to be just enjoying nature and listening to the sounds of the birds instead of in a conversation all the time or something.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think the first 5 nights I slept in the roof tent once, I think it was. Maybe it was more than once, twice, but I was sleeping on trail. I had a through hiking style backpack, and I would put my tent, sleeping bag and mat in there. And, you know, I would camp in the woods by myself just because there were no road crossings where the crew could meet me. So it was a mixed combination of camping out by myself and being met by my support crew each night. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I had visions of, you know, like I saw the film Scott Jurek's book and film Going North, I think it was called. And there was like every single night there seemed to be like a big van somewhere. There was like a full cooked meal. There was massage and pampering. So no, nothing like that for you. That makes it even more impressive.
But having said that, to be fair to Scott, it was Jenny, his wife, who was supporting him. And I mean, she had to do everything herself. And they did like call upon friends eventually towards the end, but she was like a one man crew, which is amazing. So really shout out to Jura. That takes some going. And so I was lucky. I had my mom, who's called Gun Section, an Iceman, who's 73 years old, and the roof tent was on top of his Toyota Tacoma. Cool. So I had a lot of wisdom and knowledge in my experience, in my crew, in my corner. Yeah, I could have done it without those guys, you know.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And it's like, just shout out to Scott there. It's really good that you've said that about Jenny, because they wrote the book together, didn't they? And I just thought that's really nice, because so often we recognise the athlete that's done the thing, but actually they couldn't do the thing unless they had this great support team. It sounds like your support team was obviously really important to you too.
You couldn't have done it without them. And the times that... there's this saying in Japanese. In fact, so many things come back to me. I was listening to, you know who Anthony Bourdain is?
No, I don't know who he is.
Oh, he's a famous American chef who did a food traveling program. And he also wrote a book called Kitchen Confidential, I believe. And it was a bestseller in New York.
Cool.
And I'm a fan of his and cooking in general. So I listened, I found out his shows on podcast. So eventually, you know, I got, just fed up with listening to running podcasts while I was running all the time, you know, and saw the running podcasts. But I just wanted to kind of switch off from that. So I found this, and he would travel to different countries all over the world. And it was so cool to listen to his podcast and be transported to South America, France, Italy, and all these other countries. There was a reason I was speaking about him, and I've totally forgot what it was now, but
because we were talking about the support team.
Did
they make you something, one of your favorite recipes of his or something?
It's gone out of my head, I don't know.
It'll come to you in a few minutes.
All right.
I'll put it in. We can write it in the YouTube comments below. So you said there were some obstacles that you had to overcome on the way, and I just was looking at your Facebook reels earlier, and it's incredible the amount of rain that there was. And you said that you had got a overuse injury in your right ankle from 16 hours pretty much running through basically a river, it seemed, in Vermont. Tell us a bit about that and how you overcame that.
So I actually have it up on my screen so I can remember. The road is Vermont Route 103, and I did 16 miles that day. And eventually I got to the point where I was crawling on my hands and knees.
Oh, wow.
I was crying, and I said, okay, I hear you, buddy. I hear you, and I'm going to give you a rest. I'm really sorry for pushing you so hard, because I was trying to push through this pain. This is, I guess, what ultra runners do, push through pain. But sometimes you come to a dead end, you know. And I was 10 out of 10 pain, just above my – it wasn't my ankle. It was like my right – above my right ankle. And it was through – Claire, have you ever run on sand by any chance?
Yes, quite hard.
But you know how the next day all those little muscles around your ankles ache because the ground isn't solid and you're using your stabilizing muscle?
Yes, I know what you mean.
Okay, so my theory is that because I ran through mud pretty much for 16 hours one day in Vermont, all my little stabilizing muscles just became overused and became really painful. So after 16 miles on route Vermont 103 in a place I actually got off trail last year as a coincidence, when I quit because of pressure, I got off trail and I took the rest of the day off and stayed in a hotel at motel, and just gave my body some rest. And I wasn't like stressed about it. I told the crew, listen, I'm really excited about seeing what my body can do, but right now it needs some rest. And I got back on trail the next day, and eventually caught back up with Speed Goat because I'd fallen behind his record, and was able to get equal with him and then get a lead on him. And yeah, that was one of the obstacles. But the rain was, there was so much rain. I mean, unfortunately, a hiker died. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, he drowned on a river crossing. So, you know, I mean, I didn't really have it that bad. I'm out there volunteer, like I'm voluntary out there.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, I mean, I didn't die, and I, family members didn't lose their son or their brother or something. No one lost their boyfriend. So, you know, I mean, it was tough, but it's not as tough as it was for that hiker who lost his life.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So, yeah. But 100 mile an hour winds over Mount Washington,
wow.
You know, I was almost leaning backwards and getting blown up the mountain, you
oh,
know.
Handy.
Yeah. And that's quite a dangerous, that was probably one of the most dangerous things. Another time I was running through, that was an electrical storm, and I was with this guy called Matt Hart, and I started hearing this like vibrating, like a kind of a buzzing noise.
Uh-oh.
And I'd never experienced that. And Matt's from Colorado, and I just turned around and I said, hey, like, what is that? And he said, static electricity.
Wow.
So, round, and I just bolted towards Madison Hut, which was the first hut I was staying at in the White Mountains. And I left there was a team of four people behind me, and I just, they you know, they saw me about 5 minutes later in the hut. I just left them. I was so scared, you know.
Yeah. Yikes, that sounds really sketchy. But I can't believe from all of that, the pictures of your feet at the end. I'm going to put it up on screen so that people can see your feet. They look, yeah. Like considering you've been like wading through water for hour upon hour, These are Christian's feet, everybody. They look beautiful. Let me show you a close-up version of his feet there in the sandals, on top of the flip-flops. They look really good, Christian. What? How on earth do you do that? We've got a question from Hannah about foot pain, so I think this is a good time to ask it. She says, to anyone who does long multi-day things, feet, how do you manage foot pain? I'm not talking about rubbing or blisters or tendons. I'm talking about the pain of being on your feet for days. She did a multi-day 168-mile race in April, her foot pain was crazy. She couldn't stand still towards the end. She had to drop to her knees instead. She was popping maximum doses of pain meds. So she's just wondering, like, is that something that reduces the more you do long things? Is it just something that some people have to live with? What is your take on foot pain, Christian?
Well, actually, Hannah, congratulations for finishing your 160 mile. That's pretty epic.
Yeah, she actually was joint first lady on that, so she did really, really well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, congratulations. My secret for foot pain is, so like I bought a cheap massage gun, and then I threw it away because I bought myself a Theragun.
Oh, yeah, the proper ones.
A proper one, you know, cost a lot of money, but really good. And I found that holding my massage gun sideways, because I too experienced this deep pain in my feet after every 50-mile day last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get rid of it. And I wanted my crew to, like, do... almost like a pedicure, you know, like pushing the chopsticks in my feet to the pressure point.
Yeah, or like that, what do you call it? Like acupuncture stuff.
Yeah, I just had this really deep pain and the rest of my body was generally okay. So in this year, what I did was I got my massage gun, and after every day on trail, I kind of held it sideways and it moves and it creates a vibrating motion, and it loosened up all the fascia underneath my feet. And I would just hold it on the ball of my foot, on the arch of my foot, under each of the metatarsals, on the side of my foot. And then on top of that, I would stand and roll on, I won't leave the screen, but I've got a green spiky ball over there on the floor. And I would make sure I massaged my feet with the spiky ball and the gun, and I didn't have that pain that I had last year. So that works for me. I don't know if it's going to work for Hannah, but give it a go, Hannah, and see how that works for you. But yeah, don't point the gun at your foot so it's kind of slamming on it. Turn it to the side and it creates like a vibration, and I believe loosens up the fascia.
Great. So she could put that in her drop bag, or like whenever she meets her crew, or like a on a drop bag. But then she could take the ball with her, and you know, when she's having a break outside of a checkpoint, just get that out of the bag and do a bit of massage.
Failing that, just carry the ball. It's so light, and just stop in the middle of the field if need be, or wherever you are, and roll out your foot. But that for me totally works. Yeah, that works for me.
Awesome. Oh, that's great. We've got another question as well from Tracy, who has just joined. So that's amazing. Good timing there, Tracy. I just want to read out another couple of comments that are really nice here. Andrea says, I'd be happy to do the AT in three times that time. That's amazing. Tadeusz says, hey, he's enjoying the broadcast. Tracy says, sorry, she's late. She's here. Hello. And Hannah was watching live. That's fantastic. She says, that's amazing. It's reassuring that others get the pain even over 50 miles. Thank you for answering that. That's brilliant. And we have got another question from Tracy. It's about kit. So she says she took part in an overnight race. It was called Escape from Meriden. She had to be self-sufficient, so she had no crew and nowhere to buy anything overnight. So she's just asking you, this is probably applying more to training runs maybe than... Oh, maybe it is, because you did do like sections not supported, didn't you? So what does Christian pack in his bag? Like food, drink, kit, electrical chargers, medical kit? Like how do you keep it as light as possible? Because she says most of the items that she took, she needed in the cold and wet weather, but her pack was really heavy, she felt. Like she says, maybe I didn't need to take the rum. Did you take any rum with you? So that's a question from Tracy, who's also watching live as well. Hello to you, Tracy.
Hey, Tracy. Actually, that would be a good idea. I'll remember that. A little bit of rum.
Just a shot.
Yeah, it's not going to weigh too much. I did camp out on the trail many times and left the crew behind. And I took, a cool company called Z-Pax have this fabric called Dyneema. And so it's a single tents have got double layers. They've got the mesh and then the outside. So this is like one single layer of fabric. And it just meant that my tent, I think, was, less than half a kilogram in weight.
Wow, that is very light for a tent.
So, I mean, it's not cheap to buy this stuff. And then I went for the Uber Light. What's that company called who do the
Thermarest?
Yeah, had an Uberlite Thermarest, Z-Pax single person tent. Again, a light sleeping bag because I didn't need it because it wasn't so warm. So you got to make sure it is an investment, and you do have to spend a lot of money, but you want to get this super lightweight stuff. And then dinner for me was a quarter pounder with cheese. It was quarter pounder. You know, and some 6 nuggets, and that was easy to have cold as well.
Where did you get that from then?
So my crew gave me that as I headed out into the evening. So maybe not as easy to do, but I met some through hikers and they told me that like hamburgers, you know, last for you can buy it in the evening in a town, hike all day, the evening, and then the next day you could eat it. So you can get those a day or so in advance without it going bad.
So you could get two and eat one then and then eat one the next day.
Yeah, and there's loads of calories and it packs down really well because it's pretty small and stuff, and it's relatively tasty, you know. And then I had a cold espresso for in the morning in a plastic bottle, which weighs nothing. You do have to make sure your food is quite calorific, you know, pork scratchings or these things, and expensive lightweight stuff, because it lasts and it's lightweight and it's good quality. So that's how I did it, you know, and then I used like a Salomon, pack, I forget the model, but it was like a Salomon pack. It wasn't the 12 skin. It's the next one up, 25 liter. And that just worked really well to make sure the pack was light as well.
So it is worth spending a bit if you're going to be serious about doing these things. And they last a long time, don't they, if you invest in a good quality one.
Yeah. I mean, that, I find the cheap stuff. Like I said earlier, I bought a cheap massage gun, and it's kind of a waste of money, really. And just get yourself a good one, and it should. And also, then if anything goes wrong, these brands always just replace stuff for free.
Yeah.
So it's an. I don't know. I prefer to buy quality and known brands and stuff.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a particular electrical charger that you prefer? You talked about using, like, listening to podcasts and things like that. So you must have had a portable charger.
Well, I made sure I had the, like, most up-to-date phone with a full battery capacity, because these things are important. You know, I mean, this is all part of record attempts. You need your phone for directions offline on a map. You make sure you've got the right amount of memory capacity so you can store the podcasts or whatever offline as well. And the power bank, I just went for, I call them lipstick power banks, because it's the same shape as a lipstick.
Oh yeah, I think I've got one. Are they called Goal Zero? And they're like a square, but lipstick sized.
I mean, there's different brands, I guess, out there. But I think in general, the idea was to just boost my phone by 80% battery. So, you know, and then if your phone's going to last a day and you've got one of these, whatever, little chargers, you can get 2 days of battery. It depends how much you use your phone as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But you can go lighter than you think, you know, and just next time leave the rum at home.
No, that's the most important bit, surely. Do you take, what kind of a first aid kit were you taking on those days where you were running solo?
Oh, I just rub a bit of dirt.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Into my, like, leg. You
know, no, plan. Get some gaffer tape on it.
No, I mean, no first aid kit. I was, I guess, pretty hardcore. I didn't, if I fell and I cut myself, I just bled until I saw the crew.
Yeah, I suppose you could wrap a buff around it if you were really seriously injured.
I broke my finger. It's slightly bent. Maybe you can see in the, who's ever watching the video, this one here.
Yeah.
My
it's
finger.
Not lining up. Yeah.
Just sellotaped it to the one next to it. You know, that was last year though. So.
Yeah.
You just got to make do.
Yeah. Maybe in events there's like mandatory kit that you've got to take as well, which does make things a little bit heavier. But I suppose you can get away with more than you think is the take home there. Tracy says she'd have to take the vegetarian version of pork scratchings, etc. And Tadeusz says I find moving a spiky ball slowly, looking for the sore parts, hurts. So he's a fan of the spiky ball for the feet thing. And Andrea says that Z packs are seriously expensive but very light though. So they sound like the way to go.
Best hence. I said every through hiker on the AT has either Z packs or something similar. That's where I learned about them. I don't want to carry heavy stuff, so
I haven't actually heard of them, so I obviously haven't been on the Appalachian Trail, but I will look into them now because they sound amazing. We have got a live question from Arlene, who is over in the United States. She says, did you have a favourite and a worst part of the trail? What a great question.
Yeah, I guess, the worst part of the trail. So, I mean, the long trail is so tough, and that runs from where it meets, I think it goes up to the Canadian border, but there's a part of the Appalachian Trail that meets the Long Trail, and I forget the distance, but it's almost like a prehistoric trail. It's so just difficult, you know, so rocky, so much elevation, and it was so wet this year as well. So, I mean, I hate to say that it was my least favorite part of the trail, you know,
because you're allowed one bit.
I feel bad saying that. And then my favorite part of the trail, there is something about being above tree line when you're in the White Mountains and you can just look around and see for miles around you. And that's really special. But I think my favorite times on the trail were definitely with when I was with my crew at the end of the day. I just felt so fortunate to have the love of these guys, you know, Iceman and Gun Section. And so it was the relationships which were the best part of the experience.
Awesome. It's amazing that your mum was on there as well, Gun Section. Like, that would be really cool to have your mum following you. I bet she was so proud as well.
Yeah, I mean, proud not just of me, but of her achievement. You know, to go out there and crew, she's been doing it for like 5 years now. So, yeah, and finally to get that southbound record. And, yeah. You know, yeah, so she's an amazing crew member and mother as well. She's an amazing person.
Yeah, it's definitely a group effort, these things. And Arlene says she lives in Maryland and it's very rocky, so she gets that. And Andrea says that the long trail going through the state is understandably known as the mud.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I fully experienced that this year. Yeah.
And also, I was doing a little bit of internet stalking on you beforehand, as I do with all my guests, and you were eating some interesting things on the trail as well. I noticed on one of them you had quite an unusual combination of, there was blueberries, there was red currants, and there was salmon in there. Can you elaborate a little bit on what you ate on the trail? And you've talked about burgers, obviously, but yeah, you talked about this as kind of coming back to really wholesome foods. So how did that help you out?
Yeah, I just found mixing fruit and meat or fish, you know, as a snack, you're getting all these vitamins and minerals in there from the fruit, and there's fiber in there as well, and there's also carbohydrates, but it's a non-man-made one, and then you're getting the protein and the fats from the meat or the fish. So I'm a big fan, even in daily life, of just chopping up a load of fruit and then chucking some meat or fish in there. And I guess if you're a vegan, you can chuck in some tofu or some kind of protein or even chickpeas. I mean, like, who's going to have chickpeas and a bowl of mango for breakfast for morning? You know, mango and chickpeas. But
sounds,
you know what?
Nice. Like,
yeah, I mean, you can just experiment. And so I definitely tried to take the approach of, okay, I'm having a cold quarter pounder, but at the same time, let's try and get in some goodness to my body. So that was Gun Section's job. You know, I briefed her and she knows from the years gone by that I do want to try to put some goodness in my body. Yeah, that's how we went about things. So,
yeah, it sounds yummy. And you also took some currants on the way around as well. Can you explain a little bit about why you decided to take them with you?
Yeah, I got a shout out to Fleur and Scott from New Zealand, who actually are the, I guess, the CEOs or the owners behind Currants. Because, so what it is, I mean, I didn't even know about these guys until earlier this year, but they have dried currants and they've put them into a capsule. So it's not like, I mean, I don't get paid by these guys or anything. Seriously, it's my favorite supplement because it's dried fruit, but not dried fruit as in a dried fig or a date or something. We're talking about one pill has the equivalent to a handful of currants, depending on how big your hands are, I guess. And yeah, so for me, it was just kind of cool that I could have my berry smoothie in the morning, because I did. I had like wild Maine blueberries.
Yum.
Yeah, and I had about half a pound of those a day, like a full packet. And then throughout the day, I had two of these capsules. So to get that amount of antioxidants into your body, I mean, I'm 46 years old and I feel like I was passing a lot of 26-year-old hikers on the trail, and I felt like more energetic, more youthful. You know, I really, you know, I mean, yeah, I feel good. So I'll carry on taking currants, you know, and yeah, big up Fleur and Scott for the support, you know, that they, like I said, I didn't get paid by these guys. They just gave me free currents, but it works really nice for me.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Yeah, and if people want to find out more about currents, there is a link in the film description below and in the podcast show notes, so you can go to the website and take a look and see if you want to try some. They usually have like an introductory offer as well, so you can try for a little bit of a reduced cost. And also, obviously, if you don't think that it works, you can send it back. So that is very good.
I got a tip for people out there, because what I was doing, I was taking all of my supplements, which wasn't actually many, but I was taking them out of the capsules to begin with.
Oh,
and
right.
Putting them in water and mixing them up.
Ah.
So if you want purple teeth, just do that.
Yeah, and a purple tongue.
So, yeah, so concentrated. So in other words, don't do that. Stick to the capsules and let it open up in the stomach where it should be.
Yeah, they're in capsules for a reason, people. Okay, cool. And obviously, even though all the stars didn't align, the clouds all aligned, it rained. There was injuries, there was hard times, there was good times, there was bad times. But you did have time to pose for a picture on McAfee Knob, which is on the thumbnail that I've used for this broadcast. So it's like a high bit of rock jutting out over a high cliff. You had time to pose for a picture there this year, but you said that you hadn't in previous years. How did that work out?
It's the most photographed part of the Appalachian Trail, most iconic part. And a local runner called Tim Lewis, who's also a big fan of photography, actually met me at the road crossing with my crew before we went ran through that section. And like I was running and he was taking all these photos of me, which was really nice. And we're talking about his job and our fathers and life and trail running. And anyway, when we got up towards where McAfee Knob was, he kind of directed me and started saying, run this way, just go this way on the trail. And I thought, okay, yeah, I'll be guided because he's a local and I actually didn't run. I didn't stand on McAfee Knob, you know, last year and kind of regret that a little bit. So anyway, he said, okay, and he's telling me how to stand. And like he said, like, hold your hands up in the air. Another one you can do is put your hands on your hips and stuff, and took these photos. I mean, he's just a friendly guy, not getting paid. Like, I didn't pay him or anything. And then I joined him. We started running down the trail. And I said, hold on, Tim, didn't we just kind of come off the Appalachian Trail over the past, like, 400 or 500 meters to go on McAfee's Knob? And he said, yeah, but it's fine, no problem. And I said, okay, and I kind of ran behind him. And then something said to me in my mind, Christian, you actually just came off the trail, you ran alongside it, even though it was only like 10 meters gap in between me and the trail, and then you joined the trail. So in essence, you actually came off the trail, you know. And I said, Tim, I've got to go back, man. I've got to go back.
Yeah.
All right, see you in a bit. Just wait for me here. And I ran back up. I got on to where I'd got off, and I just returned back on the trail. And it was all, like I say, it was I was almost running 10 meters parallel to the trail. But I just wanted to be authentic and wanted to be purist. And so that's my story with McAfee Knob. So did a couple of extra, whatever it was.
Extra few meters.
Yeah.
Worth it for that good photo, though. But you don't want to get nobbled by the knob, do you? So definitely good to just go back and just make sure you've got that 100%.
That's a joke, nobbled by the knob.
Yeah. And you also had time for some dancing, I hear. I couldn't actually find any of the reels where you were dancing, which is a great disappointment to me. So I think you're going to have to just do like a tiny demonstration while you sit there and explain to us why you were doing dancing on the trail.
No demonstrations.
Oh,
spontaneous.
You spoil sport.
I did the Donald Duck dance.
What is that? You've got to explain that.
I mean, people have to look for it on Instagram. Just scroll down. I think I just got to the point where I became so, I needed to escape somehow, you know? And I thought by dancing on the trail and filming myself and doing a small reel, because it took no time at all. These were 15 seconds long. It would just give me something to laugh at. And, you know, and then I was reading an article about Warren Doyle in Outside Magazine, and I never knew this about him, but he's the guy who's done the trail 18 times, more than anyone else, and he set the first speed record.
Amazing.
And yeah, like his co-hikers said that Warren's really goofy, and when he gets out on trail, he starts dancing and stuff.
Ah.
So it's kind of cool to learn about this folk legend and find out that he did exactly what I was doing this year. And it, so it must be a kind of a normal thing, you know, to just dance on trail and have fun.
Yeah, that sounds great. And did people join in with the dancing, or were you just dancing alone?
Yeah, I mean, this is even one where I choreographed it with a guy called John Harden and Cody. I think his last name is Reese. Oh, no, that's the other, the famous runner. No, Cody. And I said, right, let's do this break dance. So we did this like where we're standing in a line and I set the phone up and with this kind of break dance, the break dance music, and then carried on running and put it out on a reel. So it's all on Instagram, whoever wants to watch that. Yeah.
Excellent. I will definitely be going to Instagram as soon as we finish this broadcast and linking people up to that. Arlene's got a couple more questions. She said she missed the beginning of the broadcast. Did he have a trail name? I don't know if we covered your trail name, did we? We covered your mum and your friend.
Yeah.
But we didn't cover your trail name. What is it?
Yeah, so back in 2021, when I joined the Through Hikers, I had a failed attempt on the AT, and then I got on in Hanover, got back on the trail, did a 500-mile section with the Through Hikers just as a backpacker, and everyone called me Down Over because I used to live in England, sorry, Australia, and then currently I was living in England, so like Down Under became Down Over.
Ah.
I liked that, you know? But actually, last year, Scott Grierson, who raced David Horton in 1991, made a post on the 2022 Facebook page for Through Hikers that, Captain Morgan is going to go for the record attempt on the trail. So last year, every time I ran past a hiker, they were saying, oh, you Captain? And people would say, Captain, oh, my Captain, like in Dead Poets Society. So, I became the captain, and then this year it kind of stuck as well. So Captain is my trail name.
Ah, okay. Oh, it's nice that you have two. You could be Captain Downover, maybe.
That's funny. I never thought about that.
Yeah. Phil is impressed with your dancing, by the way. Trail running Phil says, let your crazy out. and Andrea wants to know how long it took you to get through the Mahusik Notch. What's that?
Mahusik Notch is the most difficult part of the entire Appalachian Trail. It's really tough, actually. And I was tired that day, come to think of it. I struggled, and it was a bit wet, so the rock was slippy.
Is it really rocky, that bit, then? What's it like?
Climbing. And people who have dogs often struggle to get the dogs through there. So it's just this area where there's large boulders, sometimes the sizes of small cars and trucks.
I remember that from Scott Jurek's video North. I think he got his pole stuck and he had a bit of a like a paddy about it, and he was really upset that he'd had a paddy about it. But it's just like, you're on, like, you know, you have had hardly any sleep, of course you're gonna be upset that your pole's got stuck in there.
Okay, yeah, so that sounds like the same place. I mean, it's really tough. How long did it take me? I mean, I feel bad, but I didn't really time myself. You know, actually, one of the things I did on the trail was I forgot about time. You know, I didn't really look at my watch for time, and I just tried to tune out of that. I measured things by sunrise, sunset, and then just, you know, whether it was sunny or whether it was raining, or, you know, I tried to avoid time or things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that sounds heavenly. Arlene also wants to know, where were the biggest crowds? Was it really crowded in certain areas?
So I was starting out as a lot of the hikers were finishing, because I started quite late in the year. I think it was August 2nd. So, I guess coming down into like the most northern states, because all the through hikers are finishing there. Hikes. But as I started to get into Virginia and further down south, I mean, I was on trail by myself all day, you know, I didn't see many people. Yeah. So the most northern states were the busiest part. But that's not meaning that next year, if you want to go and hike the AT, it's the case. There's this thing called the bubble, and it's where the majority of hikers are at any given one time. And there's a website you can look, AT bubble, and you can find out where the hikers are. So.
And how do they know that? Do they all have a GPS on them, or is it just where they've signed all the books and someone works it out?
Yeah, it's not the books. It's not a GPS. I really don't know. Someone is collecting data from somewhere. I mean, everyone, I guess, on that page has registered to hike the AT, and they know what month they started, and maybe what they're doing is they're saying, okay, let's say it takes the average hiker 6 months. At 3 months, they're going to be at the halfway point. That could be an algorithm, you know, that way to do it.
Gosh, it's a long time if you're going to hike it, isn't it? Now you want, no wonder you want to run it. Well, this is brilliant. Congratulations, because you just took 18 hours off Carl's record from 2016. And also, you've been too modest to mention this on here, but you are actually in contention for FKT of the year. There's a form that we can sign you up to nominate you for FKT of the year. So I'm going to put this link into the YouTube description and to the podcast show notes. So everybody, please nominate Christian for FKT of the year, because, you know, it sounds like he's had an absolutely brilliant time. And it's been many years in the making. So
that's really kind of you, Claire. Thank you. I mean, I totally forgot about that. And I think I asked some family and friends, can you vote for me? But yeah, anyone listening out there, if they found any value in this kind of stuff, yeah, go ahead and vote. It doesn't have to be for me, whoever your favorite FKT was, but I wouldn't argue against if you vote for me.
Well, you can vote for more than one person, I think, on there. So you can, and I think you can vote as many times as you like. So just go on there, type in Christian's name, and then see if there's anybody else that you want to support. So I've already voted for you, Christian, so I'm done.
Thanks.
And so that brings us on to the question of what might be next. I know, like, you might be a bit knackered still because you only just finished it in September. But Arlene wants to know, are you going to be trying any other trails in the US? Like, what about the PCT, which I believe is the Pacific Crest Trail or Coast Trail, which I can't remember.
Crest.
Okay, right, first time.
Yeah, no, I'm an Appalachian Trail specialist. I'm going to go back to the AT next year. This will be like my fifth attempt. So yes, I got the southbound record, but my goal has always been to get the overall record. And, you know, they say second is first loser, which is...
No.
But yeah, I mean, I'm 46 years old. I got the second fastest time last year. I got the fastest southbound this year. I mean, I'm so close to breaking that record. And with all the experience each year, I gain a little bit more knowledge and I become a little bit more confident and start to learn what it entails to be able to achieve this. So I'll be going back to the AT next year. If anyone wants to help make this happen, go and visit my Instagram, hit the link for our GoFundMe, and they can. I'm also doing it, and my father died last month.
Aww.
So yeah, Claire, I'd like to dedicate this episode to my father, Roger Morgan, actually, a great man who was able to live long enough to hear about our success on the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah.
Congratulate me, and he had a 3-year battle with cancer, so I'll be going back out there next year in his memory I love the Appalachian Trail and I'm getting close to breaking that record, but two, in honor of my father as well, because he's a great man, and, you know, like, hopefully everyone loves their family, and, you know,
that's a lovely thought to do it in dedication for your dad. We all remember Roger Morgan. Like, will you take a photo of him, like, along for the ride with you? And, you know, he'd be there with you all along the way.
I mean, actually, one of the great things about being by yourself for 15 hours a day is you're able to explore your memories. So I had some pretty profound experiences this year where I was able to go in and just remember what it was like to be living at my nan's house, my grandmother, who passed away, and I could smell the room. I could feel the carpet under my feet. And so I'll use that time to go in into the past and recall memories of special trips with my father, which would be nice.
Yeah. Oh, is he the one that got you into running and the outdoors in the first place, along with your mum?
He's a musician. He's an artist. He doesn't understand my running at all. Like, he's like... Yeah, he supports it, but he's got no idea why I do this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's so lovely. I'm really sorry to hear about his passing away, but it does sound like you have a great way to remember him in what's coming next.
Yeah, thanks, Claire. So yeah, back to the 80 and 24 and going to go northbound. And I'll be the first person in history to attempt northbound whilst holding the southbound record. Oh. And the only person who could actually attempt that next year is Carol Sabe, because he has the north record. So otherwise, it would be a two-year project. You'd have to get one direction, then the other. So if I get that record, I'll be the only person ever in history to do that. And I think that's pretty cool to go, the 80 double.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. I'm sure we'll all love to follow along. Where can we follow you to find out more about your adventures and, of course, the Donald Duck Dance?
Yeah, I mean, go to Instagram. My name's spelled with a K. It's Christian and then the word ultra. And that's it, Christian Ultra. And go and visit Instagram. All the links are there. You know, anyone who's interested in coaching, go and check out my website. It's linked in the little bio at the top. You know, Instagram lets you have different links. GoFundMe, you know, to try to make this happen next year is there as well. And yeah, the most important thing, of course, is the Donald Duck Dance.
Definitely.
I'm good for that. And you'll see me and this other guy who's wearing a bicycle helmet. He was trail running with a bicycle helmet. And when you find the picture of us on a reel with that guy, and we do this Donald Duck Dance. So it's so funny.
Well, I'm still very disappointed that we haven't had a sneak preview here on World Ginger Running YouTube channel, but that, at least that means everybody will now be piling onto your Instagram account. People have really enjoyed it. We will just have to have a parting word from the sponsors of the podcast, Currents. Yeah. But after that, I'll just read you out some really nice things from... you seem to have gone.
I'm here. I'm back, hopefully. Sorry.
I can see a seat.
So hold on 1 second. It turned disconnect. I turned my phone on.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, it might have connected to your phone.
It did, yeah. So yeah, I think I might need to turn my phone back on. Let me just get the phone and I'll come on that way. I'm sorry.
There's okay. a bing sound. I'll read out some nice things from your from patrons. We seem to have completely lost Kirsten. I've written Kristen by accident on my notes, and I've just said Kristen. I just called you Christian by accident because my autocorrect on here is just.
Can you hear me now?
Going wrong now. Yes, but I just called you Kristen. In a moment of panic. Yeah, I called you Kristen and then Kirsten in a moment of panic because I spelt it wrong here. It's autocorrected. Kristen is back with us now. And I will read out some little nice things from the people who are watching. But first, I'll just have a parting word from our sponsors before we bid you good afternoon. So this podcast is sponsored by Currants, which is the 100% natural blackcurrant supplement for trail and ultra runners like Kristen here and also myself, obviously not quite as elite. But my next race is the Arc of Attrition 50 down in Cornwall. So I will be taking my Currants with me to help me recover from the aches and pains of ultra running. And I feel like I'm going to recover quicker with them too. So let's just read out a couple of things from the patrons who are saying, Arlene says, so inspiring. Good luck in the future. Andrea says, good luck next year, Christian. And Tadeusz says, good luck with the southbound attempt. Oh, he means the northbound attempt, I mean.
Okay.
Awesome. So thank you so much, Christian. It's been my pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, Claire. Like, always nice to come and talk with you and be on your channel. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And goodbye, everybody.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.